They're talking about being on the cover, right?
You're talking about healthy self-esteem.
Yeah.
Which
Well,
leads
I was
to.
out my theory was that I mean, some of what I said was translated as healthy self-esteem. I wasn't exactly saying that.
Oh, just that you don't need somebody else's.
It's more of a concept. Yeah, but that sounds very whatever.
Generic, yeah, I
Yeah.
get it.
Translating that into a more of a religious, not emotional idea. The idea is that I don't need to come on to other people. I don't need other people's approval for what I'm doing. What matters to me is if what I'm doing is right in Hashem's eyes. Hashem says it's the right thing to do, the right thing to do. The middle of a person has that, a lot of men on the machavero issues that they have in life will fall off. Yes, a lot of lechavero issues that a person will have will fall off because I don't need to put someone down. I don't need to sell shinar about them. I don't need to pretend to be who I'm not. Okay, now, don't we discussed yesterday about referring to someone as a Baal Tshuva in a negative way? Another example of hurting people's feelings. Someone is asking you, where can I buy grain? Where can I buy some food? Oh, go to that store. That store doesn't sell grain. So what's the deal? What?
Unclear.
True.
Yeah, thank you.
There must be a shadow here. What?
Not knowledgeable.
It seems like, again, there's some level of vulnerability that you are taking advantage of. Oh, you don't know where it is?
True.
So, you're new to town? I'll send you for a wild goose chase. Now, why would you do
Why would
that?
you do that?
Well,
Why would anybody do that?
yeah, why would you? What's the logic here?
I don't think there's any logic. It's just not nice. Not nice thing to go.
Must be trying to make a fool out of the guy.
Oh, that makes enough sense. You feel pleasure.
Go to that store. The guy goes to Home Depot. He's like, where's the bread?
It's like, there's. You feel pleasure
Huh?
in making a mistake.
Well,
Or if
you
you feel
beat the shit
pleasure
out of
by
the
him making a
store.
mistake.
Right. So there's a vulnerable guy that you're taking advantage of. It doesn't sound very nice.
It's just rishus. It's plain, plain
Yeah.
simple rishus.
Right. Like the guy that told me that he said he still remembers that he came. This guy is no longer alive. He remembered this 60 years later, this story that happened to him. He was going to Prabha for a yeshiva in ninth grade. So he went to he was in the yeshiva, a big yeshiva, and he came as an eighth grade bacher. Someone came over to him. Someone came over to him on Shabbos and said, you could have called, yeah, you could do psychophonics nurse. So you get something right in
No.
the middle. So he went to the yeshiva actually, but he's like, yeah. And then I did it to the next guy. He's like,
That's a bigger fetish.
what is a bigger hit? Maybe I'm not sure. Anyway. But that's like that story, right? In a way, taking advantage of a person in this way is worse than taking advantage of a person monetarily. For sure, if it's in public, because you're embarrassing him in public, you're making him turn white. It's quite severe. There is no kimat way to communicate to Hashem after you've done such a thing like that. No, it doesn't mean that. It means that a person that was the victim of such a thing will have open doors to Hashem that you've been able to pray to. Again, because the person feels vulnerable and they feel very weak, they don't feel like they have anybody that's looking after them, so they're able to communicate to Hashem. The field of Dvar Mitzvah, and even how sensitive you have to be to another person's feelings, is that even if you're communicating to them and you're talking to them about a mitzvah and you're telling them how to perform a mitzvah properly, you're giving them techachah, yichach, techiach. So you're giving them mussar, you're trying to help them do the mitzvah properly. So, the first thing is how careful you have to be by insulting people. Now, he's going to go on and on about different mitzvahs and all the details of all of them. So, it's pretty interesting, but it's a little off topic, to be honest, because he's kind of just like going through different aspects of each mitzvah. We're going to go through it. But in the when it comes to giving people advice, I don't know why you would do that. Don't give a person bad advice. Tell them that if they're a kohen, oh, I have a good shidduch for you. And then after they start going out with the girl, they realize that she's divorced. So why'd you set me up with this girl? Mimcha Eitzah. I'll teach them Eitzah. Someone asks you for advice. Don't say, "Hey, sell the field and buy a chamor," and then you put up a fake buyer and you buy the field from him. Because obviously, you're not giving him good advice.
It's different. That's just I'm giving a guy bad advice as opposed to the other one you're just trying to make a fool of, right?
Yeah, the one is taking advantage for your personal gain, and the other is just being mean for no apparent reason.
Yeah, but I think that
Which one is worse than the other?
I think that ultimately there is one side of Shava, which is that a person is finding a weakness in the other person and harping on it.
What gain does a person have sending a guy out to the wrong place?
It's a practical joke. I mean,
it's not practical and it's not a joke. It's neither. It's like it's just switches.
Yes. Well, now you've weakened the person. They're embarrassed and they're not going to start up with you again. Don't bother me with all your mishigasim.
So which is worse, to gain, to do it for gain or to do it for fun?
It's other
Huh?
which side?
Which side is worse?
Probably the victim feels worse when he had no reason to do it.
I would say so.
But but I don't know, I'm not sure. The bottom line is you have to be nucky. I would think that the nakias is don't try to find a weakness in another person. Whether the person's asking you for advice when it comes to something that's nogea to you, whether he's asking you for your advice on something that's not nogea to you have to pull yourself out of the question and give them the full correct advice that's good for them. And he says the Torah is smart. And the Torah doesn't think that the only time you're going to give bad advice and when it is when it's openly bad advice. You may give advice that questionable, doesn't look that bad. According to the way you would look at it at first glance, maybe it's not that bad. Really, in the end, it's not good for him. It's only good for me, for the guy giving advice. Even if you think that no one knows, it's Hashem knows. People are nichshol on this on a daily basis. Or mashge cannot trip people up. You have to be honest with people, etc. Yeah, like you're saying, it's a little strange. Also, like, what do you mean bad advice? Like, what are we talking about exactly? I guess we're talking about that this is something that you could gain from his vulnerability. He comes to you, he's like, I don't know if I should sell. Should I sell? Should I not sell? And you're like, well, look, and maybe it's not a bad idea to sell. And actually, as a matter of fact, maybe I would buy it even. So, meanwhile, it's not a good idea for him to sell. It's not a good time to sell. And basically, you're taking advantage of it. So all these things in the end is when you harp, I think, the Tzad HaShav is you harp on a vulnerability of the other guy. I think it's very often because most people. Many people are vulnerable. When you notice that point of vulnerability and you harp on it, you are doing sever. So what is the right way to do it? Someone comes to ask you advice. You should give him the advice that you would do for yourself. That the only thing you should be thinking about is what's good for him. Not for any other side benefit. Whether it's as close or as far. Even if you think you will lose out by giving him that advice, but really it's better for him. If you could give it to him, then say, I cannot weigh in on this because I'm going to give a dollar. But do not dare give him advice for anything other than what's for his benefit. Someone told me that at what was the moment of truth that made Reb Meir Stern's yeshiva made him into Chashav Yeshiva that he is today? So when he first moved back from Eretz Yisrael, he was a Rebbe in Woodridge, New Jersey, and then eventually Pesach was a fledgling yeshiva. Whatever the story was, there was 11 bachrim.
He didn't start it.
No, but he came there at some point. He took it over. There was 11 bachrim. There was 11 bachrim in the yeshiva, and he had made up in his mind that if it goes below 10, he's closing the yeshiva.
Ooh.
Reb Meir. And he called over one of the Bachrim and he says, at the end of the Zman, says, I think you had a very good Zman, you're tagging. I think you should go to this other yeshiva. You only have 11 Bachrim. And if you tell me to leave, you're down to 10. If any other Bachrim leaves, you have to close the yeshiva. He says, I need a yeshiva, it's nothing to do with you. I think it's good for you to shtag. You'll do better in that yeshiva, right? You should go.
Every bracha, I guess, knew this deal in less than 10.
I don't know. So he sent away another bachur, and from that moment he was down to 10 bachur, just went up from over there. Not bad.
Look, Rabbi, this lesson seemed like such a departure from the high level.